All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I want to speak this morning from a passage of Scripture. I preached from, I think, about 7, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, sometime. I remember the sermon. I remember what it was about. And I want to preach from that same passage, but go at it from just a little different angle. So we will start reading in verse 23. Verse 23. I'm sorry, verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night." Now let me just stop right here. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It's the night is divided into four watches. And 6 in the evening to 9, 9 to 12, 1 to 3, 3 to 6, all right? So this is the fourth watch. So in other words, it's late. It's way late. So in the fourth watch of the night, they've been out there fighting the waves and fighting the storm all night long. And don't forget, these are professional fishermen. So a storm in the Sea of Galilee is not unusual for them, all right? So they are... verse 25, "In the fourth watch of the night, and Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." Now notice that. Walking on the sea. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I want to take the last part of this chapter here, and I want to speak to you a message I'm going to entitle, Watching the Wind. You'll notice down in verse 30, it says, "But when he saw the wind," when he saw the wind, "he was afraid and beginning to sink." All right, let's pray together. Father, we ask now your blessings upon the message this morning. How I thank you for your word. I am so glad that I don't have to come in here this morning and make stuff up. I don't have to come in and just talk about current events or talk about the world around us. But Father, we have your eternal word that can strengthen and help us, that can open our understanding and enlighten our minds to your truth. And so I pray that you will bless this morning and have your way in our hearts today. May we be encouraged as we listen to what thus saith the Lord. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I preached from this passage, and I actually preached from the same verse, verse 30. And I entitled the sermon on that morning, Beginning to Sink. It was a message that was designed to kind of give some warning signs for us to look at ourselves and just get some idea as to things that might be a sign that we are getting away from the Lord. Well, this morning I want us to take a fresh look, a different look, and from a little different perspective, although it's going to be from the same verse, it's not going to be from the same phrase. In the 30th verse, the Bible says, but when he saw the wind, when he saw the wind. Now, as I read to you a moment ago, you know that just a few seconds earlier, Peter was daring to do the impossible. With the howling wind that was swirling around him and with an enraged sea that was hitting him head on in the face, Peter was climbing out of a boat to go to Jesus. He said to the Lord, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord Jesus, instead of reminding him that he was about to do something tremendously dangerous, smiled and said, come. So Peter, with eyes of faith, stepped out of the boat, putting both feet firmly upon that one word, come, and he started walking on the water to go to Jesus. Now, we know the story, and we know that his success proved to be short-lived. Soon, his faith was turned into fear, and his great victory was turned into a shattering defeat. And the Bible says that he started to sink in the water. And if it were not for the cry of his heart, and if it were not for the faithful hand that was extended to grab him, Peter would have been swept away by that tempestuous sea. Now let's look at a few things from this life-changing event that surely molded and shaped the Apostle Peter's life, and no doubt the lives of the others who were watching. There are just a couple of things that I want you to notice here. All right, first of all, I want to take this sinking man thought. Peter looked at the wind around him. He looked at his circumstances. And when he did, he started to sink. And I want to take this sinking man syndrome and call a few things to your mind. I want you to notice, first of all, that this sinking man picture is something that we so often see today. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Pastor, it just seems like the devil's really busy. And I said, yeah, John said that in the last days, the devil would be busy because he knows that he has but a short time. So he's doing all he can to ruin lives and to get folks to make wrong decisions and just doing everything in his power to defeat the people of God. And I don't know when I've seen so many defeated, discouraged, and deflated Christians as what we see today. Yeah, I can remember when I first started into the ministry that folks would drop out of church for a month or two, but most of the time they would come back and with a humble heart and repentant, they would get their hearts right with the Lord and then do well. But that is so rare today for some reason. I really don't know why, other than the fact that the devil just has so many tools in his arsenal that he uses to grip the hearts of Christians today. In our world today, folks who have served well for years will just all of a sudden quit. It doesn't just happen here. It happens all over the place. It's just like their spiritual on-off switch just suddenly snaps. It just snaps. We have at our house automatic garage door openers, and it's got a box on the outside, and you can go and punch the code in and open one of the garage doors. And the switch stopped working earlier this week. It just quit. Now there's no explanation for it. It just quit. And I played with it trying to get it going, and I had one of our friends come and look at it and tried to get it going. He knows a whole lot more about that than I do. And he just looked at me and he said, "Pastor, I think it's broken. It won't work." And you know, there's an awful lot of Christian folks that it just seems like their switches break. There's no explanation for it. It's just like the on-off button just snaps, and then once it does, it's almost like they give up trying. And this sinking man syndrome is something that we see all over the place today. You know, I was preparing a message. I was thinking right here about what to say next. And I looked over on my shelf and I noticed an old hymn book. And I went over and picked a hymn book up and just sat down, was going through some of the hymns that were in that book. And I smiled to myself and I said, you know, there are a lot of hymns. It was an old Nazarene hymn book from Lilanus Publishing Company. And as I was going through it, I thought, you know, there's a lot of hymns in this hymnal that a lot of churches today would not be able to sing with a straight face. For example, there was a song in there, "Like a Mighty Army Moves the Church of God." And a lot of churches today couldn't sing that song with a straight face. The only movement, "Like a Mighty Army Moves the Church of God," the only movement that a lot of churches have is movement to cancel the Sunday night service. Or movement to cancel the Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Nobody seems to be moving at all in the average church today. In the book of Acts, the church was said to have turned the world upside down. But today, the world has turned the church upside down. Instead of the church invading the world has invaded the church, and it has choked the life out of most churches. They worked hard in the book of Acts to keep the church from sinking in those early days. They sacrificed. They sold property and gave the proceeds to the church. They did all they could to keep the church afloat in those early days. We're soon coming up on our 50th anniversary. And you're going to find out a lot more about it, but 50 years ago, there were charter members in this church who went and got a second mortgage on their home and gave the money to the church so we could be here this morning. That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. They prayed. They went soul winning. They knocked on doors. They pursued sinners with relentless passion. But today, a sinking multitude mocks soul winning, and they say, oh, that stuff doesn't work. That doesn't work. That knocking on door stuff doesn't work. Well, folks, those of you that criticize soul winning, have you ever told the Jehovah's Witnesses that it doesn't work when they knock on your door? Have you ever told the Mormons that knocking on people's doors doesn't work? I'm telling you, it most certainly does work. And certainly there are folks who are going to just flat out reject Christ. But let's be honest, folks. There are people everywhere who are hurting and who know that something is missing in their lives. And when a soul winner happens to show up at their door and has an answer that actually makes sense, they just know, as God's Spirit speaks to their hearts, that they need to trust Christ as their Savior. And we have seen the decline of the church all across America in the last several years. And I'm telling you, it is in direct proportion to the church's efforts to reach lost souls for Christ. As that has gone down, the church has gone down. All right, second thing I want you to notice here. I want you to notice how Peter got into this sinking position. How did he get here? Well, why did he start to sink? He was doing so well. Just think about it. He was actually walking on water for a little while. That's pretty cool. But verse 30 tells us he saw the wind. He saw the wind. Now, folks, would you just stop and think about that for a minute? You can't see wind. He saw the effects of the wind, but you can't see wind. Can I remind you, the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wants. And you don't see it. But what he saw was the effects of the wind. Now that means something. I talk to Christians all the time and I say, been missing you in church, Pastor. You just would not believe what we've been through. Oh, the winds are just blowing so hard. Now you're seeing the effects of the wind blowing so hard. And isn't it strange that the thing you need the most when the wind is blowing is the thing that you stay away from? I mean, if ever you needed to be right with God, it's when the wind is blowing, the world and everything around it in your face. He saw the wind. Peter was doing great until he decided to look around at his situation. He was actually doing the miraculous and walking on the water until he stopped and began to add up his situation. Let's see, number one. Now, I don't know how many steps he took. Let's say he took 5 steps. He's 5 steps away from that boat. Maybe it was 10 steps. Maybe it was 20. I don't know. But I do know this. He got out of that boat and he walked on water for a little bit. That's pretty cool. But then a spray came up and hit him in the face. And he stopped and he looked around at his situation. And he thought, number one, men can't walk on water. That was the first thing that crossed his mind. Men can't walk on water. Men can't walk on water. Folks, no matter how you dissect it, men cannot walk on water. Don't forget, this man by trade was a professional fisherman. If anybody knew that it was impossible for men to walk on water, it was this man who was a professional fisherman. And yet he was walking on water. And he's standing there thinking to himself, when did that happen? When he saw the wind. And when he got his mind off of going to Jesus and got his mind on his circumstances, he started to sink. When he became obsessed by his problems, an angry wave raised its angry hand against him and started to drag him to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. So number one, what was he thinking? Number one, men can't walk on water. Number two, he thought, wow, the wind is blowing the waves like a hurricane out here. So Peter was so captivated by all these unfriendly forces that he forgot about the one person standing there who was his friend. He became so aware of the wind, he forgot the reason that he got out of the boat in the first place. And he got out of the boat to go to Jesus. But his surroundings got him to take his eyes off Jesus, and before he could focus again, he started to sink. Folks, is this not a classic characteristic of Christianity, of our Christianity today? When we first got saved, we looked to the Lord Jesus and our eyes were solely upon him. In those early days of our Christian life, we were following the command of the writer of the book of Hebrews when he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But then we started noticing the storm. We started to see how boisterous the wind was, how rough the sea is. And when we got our eyes off the Lord and started looking at what was going on in our world around us, we got our eyes off Jesus. And when we do, that's when we start to sink. That's when the sinking begins. Let me tell you something, Christian. The storm is always raging. And it's not going to get any better as the day of the Lord draws closer. The truth is, the wind is always howling. I don't care who you are this morning, the sea around you is raging. And I'm begging you this morning, don't stop to survey the winds that are blowing. Keep your eyes on the Lord. For the minute you take your eyes off the Lord, that's when you start finding yourself sinking into the vast abyss. You say, but Pastor, I just look at our country today and I get so discouraged. Yeah, you and everybody else in America. But don't get weary in well-doing. Do we stop serving the Lord because our country is going to Hades in a handbasket? No. That's the time when we ought to step it up. Do we quit going to church because a loved one passes away? No, that's when we come to the Lord to get the strength to make it through losing a loved one. We just get everything backwards for some reason. Then there's a third thing I want you to notice here. I want you to notice how Peter turned fear into faith. He turned fear into faith. When he felt himself sinking, he cried out to the Lord Jesus. He cried out, Lord, save me, in the last part of verse 30. Lord, save me. Thank God he had enough sense to realize who he needed to reach out to. Lord, save me. And folks, let me tell you something. The Lord is our only hope. You will not find help by ignoring your difficulties. Peter did not tell himself that this wind wasn't all that bad after all, and that these waves were just a figment of his imagination. He knew it was real. He knew it was real. So what did he do? Well, when he saw that he was sinking, he cried out to the Lord and simply faced the facts. He knew he was a disappointment to himself. He knew that he was a disappointment to his friends. He knew that he was a disappointment to his Lord. And so he faced the fact that he had failed, and he called out to the Lord Jesus. Folks, none of us are perfect. And you're going to stumble as you go through life. But boy, if we could just come to grips with it's the Lord that we need when we stumble. When we are beginning to sink, it's the Lord that we need. We need to stop right there and go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm about to be swept under the waves here. Lord, save me, and reach out. Just keep reaching for the Lord. He's the only one that's going to be able to stand on that water. Lord, save me. I like the directness of that. I like the brevity of that. You know, there are some times when the burden is heavy and we bow our heads to pray, and we can go on and on and on and spend volumes of words praying for one issue, and minutes can turn into hours as we're praying. But you know, sometimes when the storm has broken out around us, a simple cry for help that comes from a heart in tremendous need of rescue can only utter what is needed most. Lord, save me. So simple. But when it comes from here, that's all that's needed. And as quickly as the prayer was uttered, the hand of the Lord was there to pull him out. You know, folks, as old-fashioned as this may seem, as simple as this may appear, this is the way out for all of us. Man, I see so many, and have seen through the years, so many young people grow up in church, and then they get out from under mom and dad, and they go out and face life. And then when they get outside of mom and dad's authority, here comes the storms. And they make some of the worst decisions, like none of us ever made any bad decisions. But they make some of the worst decisions, and then their lives crumble down around them, and they start to drown in a sea of trouble of their own making, and looking at their churning sea and watching the winds blow up the waves instead of facing the facts like Peter did, that life is filled with storms, and instead of looking to the Lord for help, they begin to sink, and they think they can manage it themselves, and the next thing you know, they're swept away. All folks, cry out to the Lord for help. That's why he's standing right there. He wants to help. And what is good advice for the individual is good advice for the nation too. You know, I told you 6 years ago that the executive decisions being made in the White House and the compliance of Congress was going to be the doom of this country. I told you 6 years ago, the debt and all these policies like health care and open immigration and Planned Parenthood, you know, unborn death camps, legalizing marijuana and this whole perverted homosexual agenda, and the weakened military and siding with Hamas and Iran on Middle East policy. I told you that all this stuff would be the downfall and the destruction of the America that we have grown up in. And you know what's so sad? We are not being told the truth about anything that's going on today. Nothing. The media is nothing but a propaganda tool for the White House and the Democrat Party. And unless the kingdoms of this world call out to the Lord for help, our world is doomed. I got a call this week from a pastor friend. And if I called his name, probably 90% of you in here would know him. And he called me. We talked for a good hour. And he said, "Brother, our country is doomed to destruction, don't you think?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "What do you think the problem is?" I said, "You don't have time. You don't have enough cell phone minutes for me to tell you what I think the problem is." But I think one of the biggest problems is the murder of babies in the womb. And he said, well, preacher, do you think we might have one more heaven-sent revival before the Lord comes back to rapture us home?" I said, "Well, I hope we do. But I really can't say that that's going to happen. I hope it does. I'd like to see revival before I die." I said, "But I don't think it'll happen. Our country," I said to him, "our country and the entire world has sunk so far into the depths of the raging sea that I think we're drowning in our own corruption." But folks, a church and a church like this one does not have to drown in the sea of corruption. Would you cry out this morning as an individual and then collectively as a church, "Lord, save me"? Cry out to the one that can lift you up. And if you will, then immediately you will feel the hand of the Lord reach around you and pull you up. And then lastly, how can we apply this principle to us? Beginning to sink. Let me ask you, anybody in here feel like you're beginning to sink? Do you feel overwhelmed today? Do you wonder what is the use to even attempt to go on? What can we do? Well, there's an illustration of this in the Bible. There's an illustration of this attitude that so many people feel today, and it's found in the book of Acts in the early church. I referred to it at the beginning of the message. Let me refer to it at the end. If ever there was a situation akin to our day, it was what the disciples faced in those few stormy beginning days and weeks and years after Christ was crucified on Calvary's cross. Go back in your mind and think about it, Christian. Those apostles in those early chapters of Acts had nothing. They didn't have a thing. They had no money. They had no church buildings. They had no visible assets whatsoever. They had no schools. Nothing. And yet they went out, and in a few short years, they turned the world upside down for Christ. And that was not what they said of themselves, that we're the ones that turned the world upside down. That was said of them by the world. They that have turned the world upside down have come to us. They didn't say that about themselves. The world said that about them. Now, what happened? How'd they do that? What changed them from sinking defeated, whipped, frightened men into bold and daunting heroes? The answer to that question, Pentecost. That's what did it. They realized that their Lord, who had left them just 10 days earlier, had come back to them in power, in the power and person of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And just as they were never alone before the cross, they realized that they were now never going to be alone. The miracles they watched their Savior do, they were now able to do. They had the power He had. And they were able to continue the work that He started. Now, church, listen to me this morning. There are some serious storms raging on our seas. The Lord bids us to step out of the boat and come to Him in the midst of the storm. As you step out, don't look at the storm. Don't look at the winds. Don't look at the raging sea. Look into the face of the One who is the master of the sea. Keep your focus on Him. Let Him give you the power to do the miraculous. If you will keep your eyes upon Him, He will enable you to rise even above the worst of life's storms. But the key is, you've got to keep your eyes on Him. You've got to keep your eyes on Him. I trust that God will help all of us this morning to realize wherein our victory lies, where our strength lies, where our hope lies. It's storming around us. But we can walk on the water above the storm if we keep our eyes on the Lord.